given to us, if it's not the word mentioned as such, it will be a synonym that tells us something special about the Word of God. All 176 verses of this psalm, each of these sections are headed as a listing of one of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So I trust we'll have a blessed time. I listened to a dialogue between two people. This was on radio.
BBN.
One man asked another man, "How many blank pages in your Bible?" You could tell he was stunned, perhaps, but he said, "None." He said, "Then you know it all, don't you?"
"Oh, I wouldn't say that."
"Well, any part of your Bible, the Word of God, if you've been saved any length of time, and you don't know everything in that book, do you?"
"No, I don't."
"Well, those pages that you don't understand and you don't know are blank pages to you, aren't they?" He said, "I guess you're right." And he is right.
And we ought to do all that we can to
correct that and understand and know the truth of God's Word. It takes time. We've emphasized that as we've gone through these little studies in the 119th Psalm. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes diligence. It takes discipline. And sometimes that's what's lacking. But it is a blessing to read and to study and meditate upon the Word of God. Still more and more feel like today that there is a real neglect among God's people of the Word of God. It shouldn't be that way. It's just so easy. It's so easy to let all the other things that are in life crowd out that time that you would spend daily meditating upon the Word of God. One man commented one time here from the platform, "You have your daily bread. Is that all you have? Because if that's all you have daily crumbs." He said, just to read that little devotional day by day and let that satisfy the need of your soul for the Word of God. Some people were offended by that. But you know, there's a measure of truth in that. To really get down to business and to say, "I want to have God speak to me through His Word." It does take effort. I think this psalm, this section we're looking at tonight, is going to emphasize that before we finish. So let's read these 8 verses, and then we'll have some comments. "Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients or the elders, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Let's just have again a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we have before us tonight the Word of God. Oh God, to have thy word before us, the sense that what we have before us is one of the true things we should value as believers. I have the Word of God. And God can speak to me. Oh, the joyous thought tonight that we will hear the voice of God speaking to our hearts. Let it rouse us to a fresh and blessed experience of intimacy with Thee. Grant, we pray Thee, Lord, that we will hear the voice of God. We'll hear the Word of God. The truth that we have read about. The truth that's being impressed upon our hearts. It'll find a deep lodging in our hearts and become a part of our lives. In the name and for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen. Well, this section, you find all kinds of headings concerning these sections in the Psalms. I don't say it's pick and choose the one that you like the best, but sometimes things do. I think the power of the Word has been impressed upon me. The power, this is a living Word. It's powerful. And when I apply the power of this Word and the wisdom that it possesses, I can become an overcomer. I don't know about you, but sometimes if I get discouraged, I feel a little ashamed. Child of God shouldn't be discouraged, should we? You said, well, you just don't know what's happening in my life. No. I know what happens in my life, and sometimes I guess I am discouraged. I don't feel good about it. Why should we be discouraged when we have God on our side? When we have what has been provided for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ lives in me. I'm a child of God. My sins are forgiven. I start going over these things in my mind, my heart, and you know, suddenly the discouragement is dispelled. It lifts you up above those circumstances that it's so easy sometimes to get under. I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. No, brother and sister in Christ, under our circumstances is not the place where we belong. We need to be above our circumstances. And with what we have that God has provided in His Word, this is God speaking to us. These are the instructions for us. It'll suit every situation in life, every circumstance that we're faced with. There is an answer here. I believe that. So why should I be discouraged? I say I'm a little discouraged sometimes, and when I am, I'm ashamed because I'm not trusting God. Trusting Him will dispel the discouragement. But in the very beginning of this psalm, "Oh, how I love Thy law is my meditation all the day," the constant sufficiency of God's Word for the psalmist was very real. It wasn't just a jump in and jump out thing with him. I think it was constant. That constant. My meditation all the day. I don't ever get away from it. Its influence over me is there all the time. It's there. And it's something to be thankful for. Not something that comes in upon you at some special time and you feel some elation and some joy and then back to whatever it is about a life that some may characterize as being very humdrum. No, the psalmist says, I love this law. Oh, the word of the living God. It is my meditation all the day. I thought about what you read when you read the very first psalm that is presented to us in the psalm. If you recall, it says, blessed is the man that dwelleth, walketh. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. Listen, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. I get the sense of constancy here. It's not something you cut on and off. It's part of our lives. It's constant. And it's all sufficient. And if there's any lack of it providing what God had provided it for us, then it's all our fault, not his. The psalmist feels the word of God because of that special power that it gives. It can be such a strong source of encouragement in times of need. It's divine. It's divine. It's not the word of mankind. It's the word of God. And obedience to this word, it possesses an understanding of things that God loves and God hates. God hates sin. And I've heard people say, I hate what God hates. Well, then we hate sin. We hate sin. I will not let the flesh, the world, the flesh, and the devil, I will not let these rule over my life. This becomes all important, and this brings into play this revealed will of God. And it's unknown to the natural man. I want us to read. I'm going to have, Jonathan is a good reader. Jonathan, will you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, everyone can turn now, and start at verse 9 and read the rest of that chapter. I think it gives us an insight into something that's all important to know. First Corinthians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 9. Amen. Isn't that a powerful passage? Isn't it enlightening? Doesn't it provide us with an insight into the value of what we have? We have as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, indwelt and filled with the Spirit of God, the enlightenment of His Word, our walk governed by what He tells us to do. Isn't it wonderful? We're not left to ourselves. We're not abandoned when He saves us. We're in the family of God. We're children of God. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. We might be sometimes disappointed at ourselves because we don't get a little more excited about this. I think we're impressed sometimes when we meet somebody and they're all excited about being a child of God. Means something to them. Special. You ought to have seen me before I was saved. What a miserable wretch I was. What my life was like. Man, He changed me. He lives in me. You know, sometimes we let these things slide by. We don't think about it. All important. It's what keeps you on the winning side. And here he says, though thy commandments have made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. We may not think about having any enemies in the world. Don't like to think about it, but we may have. I like to think that the world, the flesh, and the devil are enough. And I listened again to a man, and he said, Have you ever heard about the love that God hates? No. Well, God says, love not the world. Love not the world. God hates for a child of God to become consumed by the world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This divine knowledge can put you above people that are pretty smart in the ways of the world. Natural man at his best. I don't care who he is. You are the child of God. You're smarter than he is. You know, the psalmist could say, any man that says there's no God is a fool. I heard one fellow say to another fellow one time, man, those are fighting words. And the man that said it said, well, don't fight with me, fight with God. I didn't say it. God said it in his word. He happened to have his book, and he just said, here it is right here. God says, any man that says there's no God, he's a fool. But we know the Lord. We know the Creator of all things. My, we possess a knowledge of one, and we have an access into the presence of one that created all things. No one in the world today, among mankind, that is even a rival in any way to God. And we know that God. He is our God. And he enlightens us. Light has come into the world. We've received that light. And it indeed is wonderful. Going to read some other things about it in just a moment. Wiser than all our teachers. The psalmist there may have been thinking about some of the teachers and the leaders among the people of God. That word of God that is shining so brightly in dark places. Jeremiah had something to say regarding prophets and teachers of his day. They were making statements in which they quoted those statements as being of God. In other words, God said this. Jeremiah 23, verse 29 kind of starts out that way. And they gave the impression that this, if it was a burden, it was a burden from God. It was a message from God. And God said to Jeremiah, you tell them to stop saying that. I didn't say that. Do you know what it'll be like someday for those that have presented themselves as teachers among God's people? And they've taught them error. They've told somebody something that God didn't say. They'll be held accountable for it. You tell them not to say that. I didn't say that. Those are strong words. That's what God told Jeremiah to tell those false teachers. You tell those prophets. You tell those ones that are presenting themselves as knowing what the message of God is for God's people. You tell them to stop saying that. I didn't say that. And the smartest false teacher that ever lived, he's a dummy as compared to those of us that know the truth, obey the truth, and walk in the truth. Oh, he may be a man of great letters. He may be someone that is esteemed very highly, but he's a false teacher. And one day he'd be accountable for what he said that God didn't say. So we better be very careful. Sometimes when we misquote what is found in scriptures, we need to get it right. That's all important. I understand, the psalmist says. I discern more. Why do I discern more? I value and obey the truth. No questions asked. I heard a story not long ago. I don't ask any questions. I just obey. I do what I'm told to do. God says, do it, I do it. Well, you look so silly doing that. Sometimes we hear people say, I'm not going to do that. Well, you're not. Well, God said, do it. It's in the Word of God. I'm not going to do it. Well, to understand and not obey is not to be very obedient. That's not the way that you can excuse yourself. And when you read this 101st verse, it says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. This reveals the results of obedience. You know it. You develop a pattern in life as to how you live your life. And the seriousness of applying what you have learned from the Word of God, it'll begin to show up in your life. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I find something that is, like Mark was talking about, that weight that I've been carrying. I ain't carrying that weight no more. I'm getting rid of that. I want to be free to run and run for the glory of God. That's what this is all about. Refrain my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. And I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. This is like having been in a court. It's a judicial decision. It's something you better take note of. This is important. Remember what the judge told you to do? You better do it. You know they're going to be monitoring your conduct, where you go, what you say, all of these things. Well, the psalmist says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. What you have taught me, I will do. You don't have to come and check up on me. You don't need to make bed check. I do what you tell me to do. I'm an obedient child of God. The psalmist wants us to get that message. He teaches me how to walk in the pathway of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 23. That's all important. Why are you walking on the pathway of righteousness? Why are you so strict in where you go, what you say, and what you do? It's because I call myself a Christian. Christians are not supposed to do that? No, those that name the Christ, name of our Lord Jesus Christ should abstain from any appearances of evil. Not the evil itself, but any appearance of evil. You know, this thing gets kind of sticky, but the more you look at it and the more you examine it, you see the value of it. And you want to do it. It's a challenge. Someone says the Christian life is just for a bunch of people that are a bunch of dummies. Oh, if you only knew, if you only knew the challenge of the Word of God, what God has in mind for us, his expectations of us. He wants us to be conformed to the very image and likeness of his beloved Son. We will one day. Nothing wrong with starting now. And obeying his word. Our walk is all important. Our walk regulated by obedience to that which I love. God's word. If you love the word of God, it means something to you. We need to walk that way. You know, you don't like to sometimes share intimate things that happen, but just this afternoon as I was thinking about this and looking at this, God speaks to us through his word. What a joyous experience it is to have the Spirit of God give you that consciousness of the presence of God speaking to you. You say that sounds a little mysterious. It may sound mysterious, but it's very personal and it's real. You can sense the presence of God and God speaking to you. You have to put yourself in that position. You have to be willing to hear the verse that you're reading, hear it speak to you. And that's what God does through His Word. This passage says, how sweet. Oh, how sweet. It's sweeter than honey to my mouth. Something else I heard this week. I hear a lot of things. You're talking about taste buds. When you get a little older, if you're not old, you say, this don't taste like it used to taste. No, and it never will, brother and sister. Again, you've gotten old, and your taste buds begin to lose that sensitivity to different foods. You know, if you live long enough, you'll probably get so, the only thing you'll be able to taste, this is according to this dietitian, the only thing you'll be able to taste is something sweet. He said, that's the last one that goes away. You know, then I understood why it is. If they put my plate there and they put the dessert beside it, I eat the dessert first. I want that sweet stuff. But the Word of God, the psalmist, he says, how sweet are thy words. Man, this is good. It's like me and Jeannie when we get a hold of a big slice of that pineapple cake. Man, this is good. This is good. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. There's value in this, brother, sister. There's value in taking seriously the Word of God. These divine precepts, these judicial statements that are made in the Word of God, it's just as if it came out of a court with the highest judge in the land having ruled. There is no higher judge than the one that we belong to, our God. We serve Him, and we hate every false way. Isn't it wonderful to be a child of God, to have the Word of God, and to know something about what God expects out of you and me? I think it is.